every single marketer and every single brand should be attempting to earn a disproportionate share of conversation.
If you work for an organization where they say, bring us a chart that goes up and to the right, you have a challenge.
Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half.
I am here to inspire you, to excite you, to motivate you, to transform you, to energize you.
Hello and welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. This episode features an interview with Chris Rudigrop, the co-CEO of Sendoso, the leading gift sending platform that helps companies stand out by giving them new ways to engage with customers throughout the buyer's journey. Chris talks about the value and the future of gifting, diving into how AI will enhance gifting efforts and creative ways that companies use gifting to build trust with their customers. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Qualified. If you're a revenue team that runs your business on Salesforce, Qualified will accelerate your lead generation, pipeline, and ultimately revenue. Learn more at qualified.com.
And now, please enjoy this interview between Chris Rudigrop, co-CEO of Sendoso, and your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios. And today I'm joined by a special guest. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Ian. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, excited to chat with you today. Our show is always brought to you by our friends at Qualified. Go to qualified.com to learn more about the number one conversational sales and marketing platform for companies' revenue teams that use Salesforce. Head over to qualified.com to learn more. Let's get into it today, Chris.
Let's do it.
Huge news. Huge news. Sendoso made a massive acquisition of Alice, two of the titans in the space, joining forces. Super exciting. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we were really excited about the opportunity to join forces with Alice and bring them on. I think they have an awesome customer base, some really interesting AI tech and data that will really help us propel our AI strategy forward. So that was one of the big drivers, aside from consolidating the space so that customers have less choices, making it easier for customers to find the best solution. And aside from the fact that the more spend and volume we have through our platform, the more economies of scale and discounts we can pass along back to our customers. But the big exciting thing for me was the data and AI and how the future of gifting is really AI enhanced. And a lot of data is taken into account to figure out what's the right thing to send to the right person at the right time with the right message. And so the Alice acquisition gives us a lot more data.
How do you see this all changing? How do you see gifting changing? What are you so excited about?
Yeah, I see gifting being even a more effective channel compared to other channels, because I think AI and data can really drive more conversions. And I think for other channels, historically, ads, et cetera, there's been a lot of AI influence over the years. I mean, Google and Facebook, they've had AI for decades. But now with what and how fast AI is coming around for other channels, I think gifting will just see a surge in usage because it can drive that much more conversion and that much more efficacy.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, you posted about is, you know, $37 billion wasted on ads that fail to reach target audiences. Obviously with gifting, it's completely different there. And like you said, with AI being able to help, how do you think that part of it changes? Are we going to be able to reach people with better gifts, with better information to reach the right people to see if the gifts are working? You know, like I was talking about a great gift because we had the CMO of Therabody on here talking about the Theragun. I was like, that would be a great gift.
Yeah.
You know, you send the Theragun with Sendoso, right? And it sits in your office all day, every day. And you're sitting there cranking on those tech shoulders that we all have, you know, like, but those sort of things, like part of the beauty of gifting is the plant that sits in someone's office, the Theragun, you know, whatever it is that this thing is doing impression after impression after impression. And we don't know that, right? And we can't prove that. So how does that sort of change?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of questions in there, kind of dissecting a couple of different ways. One is, you know, how AI can affect kind of the right, what is the right gift to send. So I think the plethora of data that we're sitting on from tens of millions of sends and what we're having access to through a lot of really interesting data that we've built from kind of AI, but also through data that's available through third-party enrichment, we'll be able to say, hey, does Chris like golfing or does Chris like tennis or does this? And so there's interest graph that we've built that will really help decide, okay, Chris gets this, it's going to resonate with him more. Then it's like, okay, where's the best place to send it? Is it his house? Is it office? So we can use data for that. We can say the timing. Is it good to send it today for this prospect? Or do we think that timing when they, you know, just went to your website and looked at your pricing page and we want to trigger that? So there's different reasons why you want to have timing be important. The message. So we've launched last year a gift message writer, either the e-gift message or the handwritten note message. And so now we can craft a better message than, say, an SDR can write by using AI. And I think writing is a key area there. So all that will make it easier to get to kind of the right gift to the right person and drive better results. And I think the one thing that is important with the gifting channel is that there is inherent cost. So it reduces the saturation of that channel for things like email. If you send one email or 10 emails or 10,000 emails, relatively costs are not your concern. So people end up sending 10 gazillion emails. With gifting, you're a bit more thoughtful and a bit more personalized. And that means less saturation.
Yeah, I would add to that. However, when those people hire an army of SDRs that are sending all those emails, then that email that they said was so cheap actually ends up being extremely expensive.
That's fair, that, very fair. And I think we're seeing the shift too away from massive SDR armies to more marketing orchestrated kind of growth outbound efforts. At least that's what we're doing over here at Sendoso too.
Oh yeah, us too. It's crazy. Each company is totally different. And not to say that, you know, SDRs are not helpful and useful and serve their purpose. I would never build a team of SDRs for what we're doing at Caspian because it's run by marketing. Like that type of outreach is done by marketing. With gifting, you do have a little bit of the, you know, the sales rep that can control that, which is really exciting. AE doing that in that personalized conversation, or just it's called a conversation. It's not even a personalized conversation. Figuring out what that person likes. Oh, their kid really likes X, Y, or Z. I can't remember if I told you this story, that one of the most memorable gifts I ever got was my account rep at our bank. We bank with Chase. And he sent me when we had the birth of my son, they sent like a little package and it had a children's toy. And that ended up being one of my son's favorite toys. And he played with this thing for like a year. And every single time I thought of my guy at Chase, which again, Chase, massive company, you know, all sorts of infinite resources in certain ways. And, you know, this guy, you know, made that decision in sort of real time. And it made a pretty big impact on me. And like, that's the sort of stuff that like having the power there, but also, like you said, having the power on the marketing team to be able to look at the data, to look at trends, to look at when to send it, those type of trigger moments in the sales process, not just in the person's like life process.
And then I think it's bleeding over, especially the last couple of years, into the customer process and how customer marketers and customer success and account management leaders are looking at how do they use gifting during the whole customer lifecycle post sales, which I think is an interesting use case because you're trying to build that rapport with those customers too.
Yeah, we were talking on an episode about customer storytelling and how everybody always wants to tell, you know, the story at the peak of the excitement phases of like, you know, after 1 year, once you got ROI or like right after signing the deals, like why we bought. And I'm like, I want day 58 of implementation when it's horrible, you know, when everyone hates it, they're not used to using the tool yet. They're pissed that they have another tool. Like, tell me those stories. And like, that's when I want the gift to show up. You know what I mean? Like I wanted that day.
That's a really funny idea. I think so.
Peak unhappiness with new product customer life cycle. That's the key there. No, I totally agree. And then I want to touch on something that you said, sort of like ways to stand out. This is the part that I think far and away I love the most about gifting from a marketing perspective is, you know, there's no traffic on the extra mile. It's one of the things we believe at Caspian. That's why like the shows that we create are as different as we could possibly try to make them. And sometimes that costs more money. Sometimes, you know, it feels different, but like gifting is very much that way where it's like, there are tons of barriers to entry. And then even if you do it, you can do it really wrong. So there's even more barriers to entry. And that's why I think marketers should be investing in gifting. It's like, it is such a way to stand out and it's such a way to win. And because it's a little bit more expensive, your competitors might be overlooking it.
Exactly. It's still unsaturated and still untapped.
Yeah. And like, I think that, and I'm curious to what you think here.
Yeah.
You've heard some outspoken, I think specifically like CIOs and CMOs over the years post on LinkedIn and be like, I don't need another blank.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those are like the 0.1% of people.
Right? I agree. There's just controversial decisions. It's like, you know, people just like to create, you know, a frenzy on LinkedIn just to, you know, clickbait, so to speak. And I do think that there is a world where, you know, there's smarter gifting with AI that's going to reduce some of that. But then there's also a lot of people that's, you know, if you get the right gift to them, you could always use a, you know, another bottle of tequila or another pair of socks or another donation to charity or another $100 to Amazon to buy some stuff for the household. So there's infinite reasons why there's more things that you need. And then I think it's also the gifting experience around it. I think if you're doing, like you said, you could do this wrong. And if you're just throwing over a Hail Mary gift, no follow-up, no personalization, like maybe it fails to come across well. But if you're thoughtful in what you send, thoughtful in the message, thoughtful in your pre and post follow-up, it can land well regardless of what you send.
Right. You know, you give the bottle of booze to somebody who doesn't drink, or, you know, you give the socks to somebody who only wears sandals, you know?
Yeah.
I send the Patagonia to the person who lives in the desert. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I guess deserts get pretty cold. So maybe that still would be a good gift. What about what to send? You know, I think one of the things that's probably pretty exciting for you of seeing, you know, getting all the data points of like all the things that Alice has been sending, all the things that you have been sending, you know, combining those things together. Mm-hmm. How do we get into like what really drives the needle for people? Like, you know, you can imagine the Stanley Cup being something that's probably extremely, you know, hot right now. Anything that's on sort of like the gift guide, you know, I mentioned something like the Theragun, you know, these type of potentially like slightly higher ticket items that people don't necessarily want to splurge on for themselves. You know, how do you think about sort of like the trends in what to send to really like surprise and delight people?
Yeah, we look at it in a couple of different ways. We look at what can we target the specific individual, like Chris likes golf, has a dog, has a baby, likes tequila. We have an interest graph of what Chris likes. So we could send something very specific to him. Or we could take it one step bigger and say, hey, a CEO in tech in the San Francisco Bay Area who's, you know, mid-30s, what would he like? And or we can take that even farther out too. So there's different levels of personalization based on different data that we're privy to. We also have like the ability to offer up like a choice experience where you can trade in. And that also really helps our algorithms and our data sets too, because we can let the end user select what they want. And then it gives us what are the other things they don't want. So there's some really interesting ways to help get the person the right thing. There's also, you know, not always a personal gift is the best thing to send to.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something more like branded swag that, you know, you have an affinity towards the company, or you've been a longtime customer, you just renewed for the third time. And I don't, you know, maybe it's not sending just a random bottle of tequila, but it's sending a really cool new hat. And so there's some different areas where actually it doesn't always need to be personal. There's also reasons to send, you know, someone's browsing a blog post on your website or listening to a podcast. Maybe you either send them like a really high-end printed version of that, or maybe you send them like some AirPods with, you know, with some note around, hey, listen to more of our podcasts. And so you can really tie it into where that buyer or customer is in their journey. You can tie it into intent data that you're seeing and how they're interacting with your brand. You can tie it into, you know, time of year or sports teams or other affinities, things that are happening live in real time and current events. I think the beauty of it is it's just endless creativity. And for marketers, creativity can be a secret weapon if you're good at it. And, you know, we're kind of like a creativity platform in itself.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you can help with the creativity piece, right?
Yes.
It's like, I think a lot of people, you know, struggle for that. And I think that a lot of people struggle because, you know, it's you know, indecision by too many decisions, right? It's mm-hmm. like, well, how am I going to send something that's personalized and cool? You know, you always hear of the quarterback who buys their entire offensive line, you know, like go-karts or something like that, or, you know, now the idea that they all have it is exciting, right? It's like, that's part of the joy of it is like, did the quarterback pull each of them and be like, do you want a go-kart? You know, they're like, yeah. No, this is something that they thought is cool, you know, to say thank you or whatever. I think that there needs to be a little bit more of that in terms of gifting, where it's like giving someone like an entire team or something like that, something that's you all get one, or it's all sort of a shared experience. I think that there's a lot of value there. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, stuff like that or anything.
Yeah. That shows you. I mean, we definitely see more group gifting. That was really popular too, when people were back in the office, because it was really easy to say, hey, there's, you know, 8 people on the buying committee. They're, you know, half of them are in this office, half of them are in this office. Let's send them something. Mm-hmm. We also see like shareables, like sending cupcakes can be good. We've even seen some customers use some creativity where if you want to send a group gift, you send one person like a locked box and the other person like the key to get in. And then inside the box is like the gifts that they can share.
That's really funny.
Some really interesting ways. And then experiences too is another area that you can use our platform on. And you can, you know, have a whiskey tasting experience, send everyone through our platform some whiskey or some custom whiskey glasses. And then there's a team of 8 that are all kind of chit-chatting it around like a kind of a virtual experience. And there's, you know, hundreds or thousands of these experiences that we can offer up. And that can be a good supplement and complementary to like a field event where you want to, maybe you don't want to go in the field, but you want to host these more frequently with a couple customers, or, you know, if you have a vibrant community or advocacy group, or even if it's just a larger buying committee and you just don't, instead of doing another demo, it's like, hey, let's introduce a more interesting experience to this that'll be memorable and win over the buying committee.
Yeah. I mean, I love the adage that your buying process is your brand, right?
Yes. That's quotes gold.
Yeah. No, I think about it all the time. I mean, it's like how they're buying your product is, and really, you know, your whole customer journey, but like, mm-hmm. you know, if your implementation sucks, then, you know, that's not great. But you know, the as soon as the sales rep closes the deal and they're like, see you later, you know, that's not great. But I really feel like that buying process is that way. And I think that gifting just shows that people care. Like they show that they're trying to win your business. It shows that you do matter to them outside mm-hmm. of, you know, this other stuff. And like you're using the corporate budget to support them personally. Like mm-hmm. I think that like buying technology is incredibly personal. You know, you hear lots of people talk about it's, you know, human to human selling, and it's super true. Yeah. It's like at the end
people
of the day,
buy for people.
Yeah. And the person's staking their career on this purchase. It's not their entire career on the purchase of a software, but it is yeah. like a percentage, right? Mm-hmm. It is like a 3% chance. And if they screw up, you know, 20 software purchases, you know, for 3%, then they might get fired, you know. But if they only buy 4 in the course of a year, like it could be a big, you know, impact if they don't do mm-hmm. it. You know, I had someone we're working on a podcast together, and he was like, if this doesn't go well, I'm not getting fired. But like, also, it is pretty high profile, you know? And I think that that's like one of the things that I think we just forget about. And so sending someone a gift to be like, hey, thank you for, you know, sticking with me to this process and like being a champion and trying to convince everyone else at your company that you should buy this stuff, I think is a worthwhile pursuit.
Totally. And I loved your quote of your buying process is your brand. Like, and that's a way to differentiate in a competitive market where there's similar looking solutions or similar looking software. The buying process can make or break it. So.
Yeah. And I think too, that it's really exciting about all the AI piece. And I think the other piece of this is sort of, you know, what we were talking about with the sales rep stuff, which is obviously there's all these tools for listening now. There's mm-hmm. tools to pick up, you know, different things about people, about, you know, things that mentioned in the conversation, whether or not they have, you know, a family or where they live or something that's, you know, these little things that the data can pick up in those type of conversations, and it can, you know, link into something that raises a flag to like, hey, you know, they mentioned that it was really cold on 3 calls because they live yeah. somewhere cold. Like maybe we should send them a hat, you know, or whatever. Like, that's where I think blending those tools together and those types of integrations of the different technologies for go-to-market, I think, start to get pretty exciting for large-scale teams.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, it shows that you listen, it shows that you care, shows that you're not just trying to have a transactional sale, but, you know, they mentioned something to you personally, or they, you know, they talked about a sports team, they talked about a trip they're excited to go on, they talked about something like that. And that's relatable. And then it's just another talking point for the next time you talk to them, where you can bring up what you just sent them. And it's just, again, building rapport, building relationships, people buy from people, and especially in a noisy competitive environment.
So where the heck does this stuff live in a marketing budget? You know, we always talk about sort of, you know, your uncuttable budget items, and this idea of like, where should this even live? Are we someday going to have like a head of gifting that's on your marketing team? Like, where should this be sitting? And, you know, if it's in customer success, if it's in demand gen, if it's in some of these places, like, and if it's everywhere, you know, and even our HR teams, you know, obviously send stuff as well, that kind of makes it pretty confusing that nobody owns it. And then where do you put it in the budget? Right.
Yeah, we usually see a few different teams in marketing will own it. It could be field marketing, and this is sometimes dependent on if field marketing is enabling sales reps. So they are going to own this kind of tool that crosses the chasm from marketing into sales and vice versa. And we see demand gen, which in some cases will have like ABM roll into them. Hmm. And so then they will share the ownership. Those are kind of the more common ones. For some larger companies that we've seen, they have like campaign teams that want to own this. Some companies will want to take a more data first approach and a more automation first approach, and marketing ops owns it. So I think the good news is for us is we can find and sell into a variety of different personas. It's not perfectly cookie cutter. In some cases, sales wants to raise their hand and lead the charge and go find budget for it. Like you said, CX and HR, but yeah, there's usually a few people in marketing that are usually doing something like this either manually or have tested something manually and want to scale it out. So, I'd say it's not like we're like the brand newest thing that they've never heard of. It's like they know this works, or they've tried it before. They want to try it more, and they just need to scale it out. They need to use software to be more effective. They need to use software to track it better. They want to use access to our global marketplace for reduced effort for shipping or reduced costs for kind of our economies of scale. So yeah, I think that bodes well for us to be able to kind of do a lot of good discovery within which teams are really feeling the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's pretty challenging about gifting is it's not clear, you know, what percentage of your marketing budget should be gifting. Right. And it's like, if it were to just say, hey, we're going to have it live in marketing, and maybe, you know, it's executed by sales, but it's like, you know, a marketing budget line item, or you know, however you want to do it. It's like, you know, whatever, 2% of your marketing budget needs to go towards gifting. And then you can be creative in how you do that. Like, you know, maybe you send, you know, one big gift, you know, to your top, you know, 50 key accounts, or maybe it's something smaller to, you know, your top 500 or whatever your sort of strategy is. That sort of nests into your existing marketing strategy. But it seems like that would make sense to be able to have something like a little bit more rigid to say like, hey, this is like part of our go-to-market, you know, that we want to lead with this type of an initiative, or follow up with this type of initiative, or have it sit in a very specific part of our, you know, of our playbook. Yeah, curious to your thoughts.
We do see some companies have gifting budgets and line items. Some have had direct mail, and we kind of fall under this direct mail budget, which has been, you know, around forever, and people know what direct mail is. So oftentimes there's a line item for direct mail, or they're creating, you know, new line items, and I think that's also helpful. And then one of the recent trends we're seeing actually is kind of existing kind of legacy channels, like a, you know, someone's running ads and they want to, like digital ads, and they want to put a, you know, a Yeti mug in their ad to entice the click or the view. And so we're seeing that within ads, within content incentives. So download this white paper or case study and we'll send you a $25 Starbucks card, attend this webinar and get this. So it's actually like existing field and webinar channels, existing ad channels, existing content channels are all able to say, hey, we can drive better results. We can drive more conversions if we use gifting incentives or gifting thank yous. And so we're seeing that be sprinkled across different marketing teams.
Yeah. And this is why I think it's so complex, and like where there's complexity, there's opportunity for marketers, because it's like, to me, and obviously they're completely different plays, right?
Yeah.
Telling, for sure. Like doing $100 demos, which, you know, we had Jason White like a year ago on this podcast talking about how they ran a really sophisticated pay demo strategy that worked really well. That's like one part of like quote unquote gifting, right? And then, you know, sending someone a plant that sits on their desk is like a completely other tactic within the same sort of, you know, overall strategy, which should probably nest into an overall strategy, which is like, hey, we want to get a meaningful touch on every single prospect that's in pipeline, you know, within every month, within a year, or what, you know, whatever it is. But they're so different, right?
Yeah. And I think that's where like why we've seen such a rapid rise in success over the last like 8 years is that software can really help kind of manage all of those kind of coexisting campaigns so that you can track back to your CRM or your marketing automation tools all the different campaigns that we touch or that gifting touches. You can also have different funding sources and different budget line items and even tying back to different POs for some of these different sends. And so there's a lot of complexity in the budgeting, the funding, the reporting on all of that so that you don't just have this like, you know, one pool of money that says, hey, this is our gift budget, but then it's actually like, well, it's influencing all these other channels, so we want to track it all separately, and they all have separate budgets. So how do we, you know, intertwine but not intermingle and commingle these funds? So I think it's where like doing it on your own without software becomes a nightmare.
It really is a nightmare. And then the pool of money's, you're not comparing apples to apples, right?
Exactly.
Which is the hard part. And then you're like, well, what did we spend all this money on swag for? And you're like, you know, oh, well, actually, all the swag that we sent was, you know, we gave people t-shirts, which like have our logo on them, to people who wanted to do demos of our product. Like that's a net positive in two ways, because they're wearing our logo on their stomach.
I think that's where we've been able to take over the swag industry by storm too. And that, you know, his legacy swag companies have really been this like one budget, no software. They send you some shirts to your office. Maybe they've sophisticated a little bit more and will send directly to the customer, the prospect. But again, if it's not tied to individual campaigns that are tracked back to real contacts and accounts and opportunities, it really creates a problem for marketers that need attribution reporting and that need to show the efficacy of one versus the other or do A/B testing. All that is like critical for marketers, especially in a world where budgets are tightened. So you don't have unlimited budget. You got to say, I only got, you know, $8 million this year to spend. Where am I going to put it? And how did it work last year so that I could invest in channels and strategies that work better? So,
you know, I only invest in marketing that is remarkable. This is sort of like my personal marketing philosophy.
I like that.
So it's like you have to be, it has to spur a conversation of some kind. And the conversations that I get feedback on pretty commonly are like, hey, listen to your podcast. I love it. Hey, I read your newsletter and I love it. Hey, I see you everywhere on LinkedIn. Hey, the shirt that you sent me, I wear all the time and it's the most comfy shirt I've ever worn.
Yeah.
All the time I hear that, which is great and fun. But that piece of the swag thing, I think like somehow, somewhere along the way, the idea of sending people swag got like overdone or overblown or whatever to this idea that like it wasn't a good idea. And every single time it makes me crack up because I'm like, this is someone who is, if they're a prospect that is actually wearing your gear, what do you think the percentage chance if they wear, you know, that shirt once every 2 weeks that they're going to buy your software someday? I mean, like, could I get the data on that, you know?
Yeah. Or if it's going to influence people in their community, going out to dinner, going out to lunch, going to grab beers and you wear a hat or a jacket or a beanie if it's cold and you're going to a lodge and skiing. There's so much extra value that is impossible to quantify, but is intrinsic and known. I kind of related in some cases to field marketing where, you know, I think sometimes field events get bad raps because you're like, okay, I've tracked some of the leads, but I know more people saw our booth. I know we had conversations that didn't get like logged in some system. but there's just ancillary benefits from showing up at events at times. And I think that's a, you know, gifting swag can have that effect where it's, you know, there's more benefits than the direct attribution.
100%. And like, you know, 13 impressions still equal a sale, right? And the quality of an impression when someone goes, hey, what's that shirt? And you're like, oh, this vendor sent it to me. It's, you know, like, it's just a really comfy shirt. And they're like, oh, that's like, what do they do? And then all of a sudden your prospect is explaining what your company does, you know, to another person, like how valuable is that?
Yeah.
I just think that there's so much opportunity in those sort of things because there's like outsized results. Like when you pay $70 for a lead because you have been running a paid campaign and you got X amount of impressions and, you know, X amount of clicks and, you know, whatever, and somebody raises their hand or whatever your numbers are. And that's great. But then it stops working, you know, forever and always, right? Like there's no way that that thing can grow. Whereas when you give someone a gift and it creates a story, that story will live on in some form or format. And it like might be one time that they tell one person, but it might be something where they tell people, you know, 20 times. I had a Salesforce Patagonia like quarter zip that I must have wore like 1,000 times, you know, like, yeah. I'm like,
well, the other trend we see in swag, which I think is gives you even more long lasting longevity too, is where you come up with, you know, more kind of creative, you know, not just your logo centered on the shirt, but, you know, like New Relic ran like a Data Nerd shirt. Like there's a lot of people, tens of thousands of people that just wanted the Data Nerd shirt and the logo was on the sleeve, but you know, the main shirt was like something you'd probably go and buy that if you were, you know, going to go shopping, you know, at the mall. Or I think a lot of brands and a lot of companies have cool logos or mascots, you know, like yours. You know, you throw that on a shirt and that could actually be like something you'd go buy at a store. So I think there's an opportunity for marketers to continue with creativity. And this is one of the things we push from our campaign services team is you don't just have to like upload your logo and throw it on the center of the item, but maybe you want to create a new a brand or a new like line of you know, a new line of clothing or a new logo that matches your logo but in a different format. And there's a lot of creativity that can go into that to provide longevity too.
So I did this back in the day. I was going to speak at a conference and I wanted to make shirts for our podcast, and so I made a shirt that had, I just designed it on Canva, I think, but it had Kip from Napoleon Dynamite. And it said, you know, yeah, they downloaded my white paper. We're getting pretty serious. And I must have had 50 people that were like, can you tell me where to buy that shirt? And I was like, oh, it's not for sale. Exactly. You know, like I just made it for this event because I'm speaking at this event. And like, it was one of those light bulb moments. I'm like, why do I not have a store on our site that just sells this, you know?
Yeah. Why not have fun? It's like, why not have fun with your brand? Have fun with your engaging, the ways that you're engaging with your prospects and customers, because you don't need to just run this boring playbook of, you know, a boring gift or a boring logo. You know, I think that's a perfect example of, you know, having fun with it and creating much more appeal and much more demand and much more awareness.
So. Yeah. I had another one. That, and I think it's important to tell all these stories on, especially on this podcast, but because they are memorable and like, I think I obsess about this stuff all the time. So I think about it all the time, but I went to an executive event with the good people at Procore. And one of the things that they sent was a letter board. I've told this story before, but they sent a letter board and we had just found out that my wife was pregnant and it was during COVID. And like, we were, you know, going to go buy a letter board so you can do all the, you know, fun stuff when, you know, your kid is 1 month or, you know, all those things. And and we had this Procore one. So that was the one that we used for my son for the first like year of his birth. It was this little Procore, you know, letter board that literally had their logo on it. And so, it's just, again, it's like how many people use that little letter board that they sent out? Like I might've been the only one, you know, but it made a difference on me. And that's like, yes, there's waste and yes, there's other stuff. And obviously you want to limit waste as much as you can, but that was something really cool and special and like made a difference for me, like in my actual life. And that's where gifting, I think, is at its best. And it's serendipitous, right? Like, exactly. They didn't know, but like, that's the thing. Everything in marketing doesn't have to be, I intend it to be to do blank, and it has to do that thing. It's like, that's why events are great, is because of serendipity. It's like, I just ran into Chris. I haven't seen him in years, or I've never actually met him in person, but he's been on my podcast. Like, that's the sort of stuff that I think, you know, with that combined with good marketing, can have like outsized results.
100%.
All right. Before we get out of here, would love to talk uncuttable budget items. Where are y'all spending your money these days? What type of marketing are you investing in?
Yeah. So I think if I were to pick a few, one is content is huge for us. Thought leadership, I guess that boils into SEO, but just content is an uncuttable budget item. Kind of our growth, our outbound growth operations motion, which I'd say is like our evolved SDR function, that is uncuttable. And then, you know, got to give some love for Sendoso and gifting.
Love it. Anything that y'all send that's been extra fun, or any things that you've pushed your team on that has been especially cool?
I mean, we've just doubled down on this smart send feature that we released recently, where you can plug in a prospect's email and it'll give you like highly personalized things that you can send them using some AI. So I think it's kind of a catch-all that, you know, using AI and tech to personalize, and then that really drives the wow factor forward.
I love it. Chris, before we get out of here, we'll do our final segment.
Okay.
Quick hits. These are quick questions and quick answers, just like how Quickly Qualified helps companies generate pipeline, tap into your greatest asset, your website, to identify your most valuable visitors and instantly start sales conversations. You have two websites now. What better way to start sales conversations than on two different websites? Twice the power.
Yep.
Go to qualify.com to learn more. Quick hits, Chris. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Number one, what's a hidden talent or skill that's not on your resume?
I'm like an Upwork master. I love using Upwork, and I love finding freelancers. And so I think I've spent like $1 million on Upwork. It's like my hack that I try to tell everyone at my company to do too.
Oh, we have too. I've done the same thing. It's crazy building a digitally first company and like the tools that you can use to build a company now. And it's like all these things that it's just remarkable. We found just so many talented people on Upwork that end up becoming employees, which is fun.
Love it.
Do you have a favorite book, podcast, or TV show that you recommend?
I love the My First Million podcast. That's my favorite.
Favorite non-marketing hobby that indirectly makes you a better marketer?
I love playing with Legos, building Lego sets. So creativity, I think, going back to that as a marketer, you need to be creative. So I'll go with Legos for that one.
If you weren't in marketing or business at all, what do you think you'd be doing?
I would be. So I love marketing. I love starting companies. I'd be starting another company.
What's your advice for a first time CEO?
I would say be data obsessed.
And final question here. Do you have anything to plug? Obviously, we talked a lot about Sendoso today. Everybody can go to sendoso.com to learn more. Yeah. Any final thoughts? Anything to plug?
I would say, well, we have a newer free product. So you can sign up and get sending today for free without like a subscription. So if you're an individual listening to this, or you want to test out something, you can get gifting today. So you can go to our website and click sign up for free. So I'd say check that out. And then the other thing is follow me on LinkedIn. Add me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect and would love to have you read more content that I'm sharing.
Which, by the way, I buried the lead here. Caspian signed up for the free product as soon as it came out and started using it. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, highly recommend to go do that. We sent some maternity gifts, send some meals to expecting mothers, because goodness gracious, that time you need as many meals as you could possibly get that you don't have to make.
Oh yeah.
Chris, wonderful having you on the show. Great to finally chat long form on this after our short little snippet on Pipeline Summit. It's been great, you know, following along. Huge fans of Sendoso, and congrats on the Alice acquisition. And everyone will be following along and try to fit gifting into our budgets if it's not already.
Thank you so much, Ian, for having me.
Thanks again to our friends at Qualified.com, a conversational sales and marketing platform that transforms the way B2B companies sell. Go to Qualified.com to learn more.